Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Oh, happy Mother's Day. I just need to say, it's probably the fifth time we've said it, but you know what? I'm a mom. I get you, moms. I know what we sacrifice. I know what we do every day. I know how hard we work to make sure our kids have an incredible life. And I just want to tell you that we so appreciate you. You know, whether you heard it or not today, if there was someone there to greet you this morning and to lavish their praise and adoration towards you, I just want you to know you are adored, you are cherished, and we see your sacrifice and we know how hard you work, and we appreciate you so, so very much. So we love you, C3 moms. We love you. Go ahead and take your seats, and thank you so much, guys. Amazing morning. Do I have lipstick all over my face now? Because that'd be terrible. Red lipstick smeared everywhere. Hi, live stream. So let's start with some fun. So I saw these funny mom sayings, and I think some of us can relate. So let's dive into these, and you can feel free to laugh or nudge someone next to you if this is true for your life. So if I ever go missing, please follow my kids. They can find me no matter where I try to hide. When your mom's voice is so loud that even your neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed. My kids will walk right past their father sitting on the couch and come bang on the shower door for me to open their fruit snacks. You know your life has changed when going to the grocery store by yourself seems like a vacation. Yes, and all the mothers said amen. Yes, it's a real trial. Okay. I love all my children equally, except the one that sleeps. I love that one more. Yes, please get a new cup every time you need a drink of water. I love doing dishes, said no mom ever. I live in a madhouse run by a tiny little army that I made myself. There is a legend that if you go take a shower and scream out loud, mom, three times, a nice lady appears and brings you a towel. My nine-year-old in his nine long years has never once remembered a towel, ever. And I was reading these funny little things to them, and he says this. He goes, mom, that's not a legend. That's real life. I'm like, yeah, let's do something about that. Every time. But then, like, I want to teach him a lesson, but I'm so scared he'll, like, slip and hurt himself. So every time I bring him a towel, I'm such a good mom. So I had a huge mom win this week. So you moms, you're going to feel me on this. Like, you know, like us moms kind of dread the day where our kids, like, ignore us in public or won't hold our hand or anything. Like, we kind of have anxiety around it, you know? And so we had the Mother's Day tea at my kids' school and my fourth grader, so he wakes up and he's so excited for his Mother's Day tea. And he goes, mom, like, what are you going to wear? I'm like, oh, well, what would you like me to wear? And he goes, I don't know. Like, I just didn't know if you were going to get dressed up or if you were, like, going to look cool. Like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I was just going to be normal. And he goes, okay. And so then we're walking in. And then as we're walking in, he goes, mom, why'd you wear lipstick today? And I'm thinking, oh, the only time he cares that I wear lipstick is when he wants to give me a little kiss. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this might happen in front of his friends. Like, wow. And so I'm like playing it cool. Like, I don't want to like make him uncomfortable. So I'm not going to reach for his hand. I'm going to let him make all the moves, you know. And because like he's got to, you know, he's in fourth grade. It's a big deal. And so we get into his classroom. And sure enough, he like grabs my hand. He's leading me around, showing me everything. And then he'll let it go casually. And I don't grab for it again. I'm just going to wait for him. Play it cool. But into my heart, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes! You know, like my mom heart's about to explode. And then, so then he's like reading the poem he wrote for me and he's giving me hugs. And then sure enough, at the end, he gives me a big old kiss in front of his friends. I'm like, yes, this is a great mom day. And I felt myself going, oh my gosh, cherish it, soak it in. this may be the last year. You just never know when that's going to change. So I was just like loving it. Like, yes, Mother's Day win for me. And so it's just so precious, the relationship moms have with their kids. And so as I was just thinking about moms and thinking this about some of the things that I've kind of thought about and processed over these 10 years of being a mom, I just wrote a few thoughts down that I just wanted to kind of read over the moms. So this is like from my mom heart to your mom heart. The day your child was born, you were also born into motherhood. Just as the world was entirely new to our precious little ones, motherhood was entirely new to us. As we grew as moms, some things came naturally, some things came instinctively, and other things we had to learn as we went. And learning and growing as we go sometimes means we make mistakes. But we didn't realize they were mistakes until it didn't turn out like we had hoped. But remember, there's no mistake that God cannot work all things together for good for those who love him. Each day brought new challenges, decisions, and dilemmas, and we did the best we could with the knowledge and the capacity we had at the time. We can tend to look back and wish we had known what we know now, and I'm sure there are things we would have done a little differently. But looking back doesn't change the days behind us. We can only look forward to the days ahead and make the most of the days we have. So let's stop living with regrets and start making the most of each day and making as many beautiful memories as we can. You're a mom. No one could ever replace you. You hold that title forever, and you hold your child's heart forever. And remember, being a perfect mom doesn't exist. Real moms are never perfect, and perfect moms are never real. You're doing great, so give yourself a break. And let's just give our moms a hand one more time. You're doing great, moms. I want to read from Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And so when we read this scripture, through humanity, male and female, God intended to manifest his image, his character, and his nature through men and women. And I would suggest that God's nature can't fully be displayed unless there is male and female. And when I began to think about all the attributes that moms possess, I couldn't help but see the Heavenly Father in these attributes. And so the title of my message this afternoon is Mothers Have the Father's Heart. Mothers Have the Father's Heart. And the first thing, a mother loves before first sight. Just like the father. A mother loves before first sight. So mothers have this beautiful gift to imagine their children even before they're conceived or born. Like sometimes moms dream of the future family and the children that they're going to have long before that ever comes to pass. We have this ability to love these children that we don't yet get to hold in our arms. And from the moment of conception, love begins to grow for our children. But you know what? And I know that some of us, like, if it wasn't necessarily planned, we have to get over the shock first of the conception, and then the feelings of love can follow suit once the shock subsides. I know for me, my second child was a little bit of a surprise. So Hudson was 3 months old when I found out I was pregnant with my second son. So it was a little bit of shock there. And so I remember going to John, and I'm like, I started to get a little weepy, and I'm like, "Babe, I'm pregnant." And then I start to cry. He goes, "Why are you crying?" I'm like, "Well, I didn't know if you were going to be mad." And he's like, "Babe, why would I be mad? We're having another baby." I'm like, "I don't know. I just had one." And then he just gives me a big hug. And then I was like, "Okay, so we can celebrate now." It was a little overwhelming. And So once the shock, I got over the shock, then like immediately I was like so excited. Those feelings of love and expectation began to grow over this little one that I had not yet been able to hold. You know, and then the baby's growing and it starts to move and kick and do all those things. And most moms love that. I wasn't one of those moms. I personally didn't like it very much. Like I was just, like the baby would like do this big move and it'd be like, ugh. Like I just didn't know what to do with myself. Like they're just like coming out of your skin, and I was just like, oh, And then like moms, the other moms, like they have their babies and they're like, oh, aren't you gonna miss it? Like feeling them move. And I just go, yeah, no. Like, I mean, their elbow like running across my bladder make me pee myself. Like, what's not to love? Like, no, I'm not gonna miss it. Like, I don't know. That's just me. Sorry. Sounds very non-momish, but just being real. So, but then like when the baby's born, like, oh my gosh, you're obsessed. Like you're so in love. Like they haven't done anything. All they do is eat, sleep, poop, and cry. And you're like obsessed with them and you stare at them all day. Like you could go, you just go hours and you've just stared at them and you're never bored. Like you're obsessed. It's like this new love that you've never experienced. This all-consuming, passionate love that you've never felt comes upon you. That's a mother's love. It's all-consuming. Your child has done absolutely nothing for you, yet they mean everything to you. And I think this is just like our Heavenly Father. We haven't, before we did anything for him, we meant everything to him. And he loved us before first sight, just like our mothers. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So God chose us to be sons and daughters, not just before we were born, but before the foundation of the world. God was thinking about you before the earth even existed. Like, this is incredible. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And he didn't just say he loved us. He demonstrated his love for us. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love for us. Then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love for us was so great, before we were even born, before he even met us, he died for us, not even knowing if we would choose him as our Heavenly Father. And he died and sacrificed his life for just the mere hope that we would choose to love him. That is how much your Heavenly Father loves you. He loved you before first sight, and not just loved. The Bible says he so loved you. He so loved you. So before you did anything, you meant everything to your Heavenly Father. And I just want to really say this morning, that there's nothing you can ever do to earn or lose his love. You can never earn it, and you can never lose it. It's not a performance-based love. And I know it's kind of hard to imagine, because so much of life, like, we're loved and adored and appreciated for the things that we do. So, but it's so much different with our Heavenly Father. We never have lost his love, so we never need to earn it back. No matter what we've done, we've never lost it, and we never need to earn it back. We just need to rest and receive his incredible love for us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love is everlasting and unshakable. So don't ever let the enemy tell you that you are not worthy of his love or that you've lost it. God loves you the same on your best day, and he loves you the same on your worst day. You can never, ever lose his love. Whether you receive him or you reject him, his love for you is unshakable and everlasting. You are loved. God has loved you even before first sight, just like your mother. The second thing, a mother wants their child to succeed, just like the Heavenly Father. Every mother wants their child to succeed, to win in this life, to be in health, to be prosperous, to flourish, to thrive in this life. No mother ever has a child and says, I hope they amount to nothing. Like, that, never. Like, mothers, they want everything for their children. They want their children to succeed. And when they fail and when they fall, a mother will do whatever she can to try to pick them back up, to help them believe in themselves again when they don't believe in themselves. We have the ability to come in and bring such incredible comfort to our children when they fall. And I know even yesterday at my son's baseball game, they're in their playoff season, done extremely well all year, and it's their first playoff game. And it was so unfortunate because three of their top players went on vacation. And so they're in their first playoff game, and there was all these other little boys playing positions they have never played all season. We have three of the main infield positions gone. And so, like, we have kids catching that never catch, kid playing on first base that's never played. And it was just, it was a hot mess, you guys. It was so painful to watch. My heart was, like, breaking. And my son, my 10-year-old son, Hudson, he had to open up his pitcher because the other two pitchers were away. And so he's good, but he's not, like, that's not his, like, thing, you know? So he's up there. It's like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. It is not going well. He had so many nerves. Like, he was just all over the place. And then they were getting hits and runs. And as it went on, like, you could see him on the mound. And he was doing this in between pitches. And I'm like, oh my gosh, his face is red. And he's taking deep breaths. And he's, like, trying not to break down and cry on the mound. So the second the first inning was over, thank God, he comes running off in tears before he even got off the field. Like, he was bawling. He could not even pull himself back together. And my heart was breaking. And then he was still, like, so emotional. And then he was the first at bat. So then he had to throw his helmet on. He's still, and he's up at, yes, and I'm, like, dying inside. Like, I just wanted to make it better. And I'm like, my throat is sore today because I was just, like, yelling encouragement. Like, I was so annoying. Like, I was just yelling at him all the time, all the good and right things. But so he gets up there, and then because he's so emotionally distraught, he is swinging at things that are not even in the same galaxy. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. So, of course, he strikes out. And then his second at bat, he gets smacked in the leg. He has to jump to miss a ball, and it nails him right in the shin. He has a huge welt. And then his third at bat, he makes it on base, and then he slides, steals third base. Totally safe, you guys. He was totally safe. The umpire made a horrible call. I was like, raw! Like, this is, oh my gosh. We were all freaking out. Like, everyone knew he was clearly safe, but he got called out. Like, the kid could not win, and he was crumbling. And I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? Like, I just need to, like, help alleviate this pain. I want him to, like, know he can do it, like, that I believe in him. So I was just, like, ran over. And you can't go in the dugout, but I'm, like, in the cage. I'm like, cousin. And he's like, yeah. And he's, like, looking at me and, like, see on his face. He's like, I don't really care whether we win or lose. Let's go get ice cream. And he's like, okay. Like, the smile return. I'm like, oh, anything I can do to, like, help him, like, just pull out of this. Like, I just want him to succeed and to do well in life. And we want to help pick them back up when they fall and, like, inspire them again. It's what we do as moms. And then my second son, Holton, we went skiing this last year. It's only the second time they've been skiing in their whole life. And it's been 4 years in between, so it's basically the first time. And skiing's, like, kind of be tough, you know? Like, it's not something you just pick up right away. But my second son is extremely hard on himself as well. And so the first time down the mountain, I mean, he was eating snow, like, every 2 seconds. And he was melting down and saying, I suck. And just like, I'm never doing this again. I'm quitting. And I'm thinking, honestly, it'd be so much easier to quit. Like, this, it's so, like, should I? And then I'm like, no, because he'll be great at it. He's a great athlete, and we're going to have so much fun. And so he was just so upset and telling me he was going to quit. So I grabbed his little face, and I'm like, look at me. Then, of course, they look away. I'm like, look at me. I'm like, you can do this. I was like, you are an incredible athlete. Like, you're a freaking ninja. Like, you are so fast, and you are so strong, and you are so talented. We're going to do this. And I was like, and you're handsome. Let's go. I'm like, I'm going to be with you. You follow me. You listen to everything I say. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what leg to put pressure on, when to turn, when to slow down, when to go fast. So he's literally behind me. I'm like, pressure on the right, pressure on the right. And then I'm like, okay, pressure on the left, pressure on the left. And soon enough, he's at the top of the mountain, night skiing, on the top of a blue run, crushing the mountain. And at the end of the day, he just, like, throws his arms around me. He's like, Mom, I love you. You're the best teacher ever. I want to go skiing, like, 1,000 times. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we have to believe in our kids when they don't believe in themselves. We know they can succeed. They just sometimes don't know it. So we have to continue to instill in them courage and belief and faith until they succeed. We don't want our children to fail. And God does not want his kids to fail. You know, we as parents, we encourage our kids even for the smallest things. We're like, yes, they slept 6 hours. Like, yes, they finally pooped. Like when they're little, like every new mom knows, like you get so stressed, it goes 4 and 5 days and you're just freaking out and you're like, yes, like you celebrate everything. And we celebrate when they take their first steps. Like they're waddling around and looking so cute. And we would never, as parents, like rebuke them and be like, you're never going to walk. You're terrible. Like we would never, ever say that. We would never mock our kids when they fail. Like when parents are teaching their kids to walk and like you, when you're trying to get them to do something, you're like, come on, come on, come on. Like we get that voice. And I'm telling you, it's universal. Men sound the exact same with their little kids. Like they're little, come on, come on. And you know what? I can totally picture our Heavenly Father up in heaven going, come on, come on, like you can do it. And I know his tone probably sounds a little bit different and his tone changes over time. When we're little and that's all we could take, it's all, come on, come on. But then as we grow, he's like, come on now. You're my son, you're my daughter. I'm never gonna leave you or forsake you. I don't ask you to step out so you can fail. You are not gonna fall. I am with you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can do this. I believe in you. You're my son, you're my daughter. Together, we're gonna make it. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror with me. Come on, come on. God never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. You know, I just want to tell you, like, you know what? You may fall in this life, but you will not fail when God is on your side. You cannot fail. He can work all things together for good. So don't beat yourself up when you fall down. It's a part of life. We're all going to fall. When we learn to walk, you're going to fall. It doesn't get older, it just looks different as we grow. But we're going to fall, but you'll never fail with Jesus. And I know some of you have fallen so many times, you just decided it'd be easier to stay down. But I'm here to tell you that God, the King of Kings, is in your corner today. The King of Kings is in your corner, and he's cheering you on. You may be down on the mat, but he's like, come on, get up, get up, get up. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to forsake you. He is there cheering you on, believing in you. He wants you to succeed. You're his kids. God is our father. We are his children. He has blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly realms. He has given us everything we need in him to succeed in this life. We just need to lean into him and stop striving so much in our human strength. Lean into God. He knows what you need and he's going to give it to you. So don't give up. Get up off the mat. He's on your side. He's in your corner. He's not going to let you fail. Amen? Amen. The third thing. Moms can make everything better. Moms can make everything better, just like our Heavenly Father. Moms have magical kisses. You know how many millions of tears have stopped because of a mama's kiss? Come on, let me kiss it. I'll make it all better. Moms have magical kisses to make everything better. And we may not be able to fully take the pain away, but our presence to our children brings incredible comfort in times of duress. Our presence brings incredible peace to our kids. When my son was, I think he was 8, my firstborn again, we were at a soccer game, and they were just right in front of us, and he was trying to do this trick to get the ball away from someone, and he stepped on the ball, and he somehow, it took him off the ground, and he tried to brace his fall, and he snapped his elbow. And we heard it snap right in front of us. And, so that was the first time we'd ever experienced, like, a massive, like, traumatic experience, like, in our family. And it was 12 hours. It was before he got surgery. And it was Halloween. So he didn't get a dress up or get candy. And so we're at the hospital. The first hospital, he spent 6 hours. They gave him a little bit of Tylenol right when he arrived. But then they were unable to get an IV in. So basically for 12 hours, he was without pain medication. And then because they didn't know what time he'd go into surgery, they wouldn't allow him to eat or drink. So he went, and it was like September, heat of the day, playing soccer, completely dehydrated already. And then 12 hours, they wouldn't give him a sip of water or any pain medication or anything. And so he's just like looking at me like, help me, Mom, like help me. And he's like, just give me a little bit to drink. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, everything in me wants me to help and give you water and something to eat. But then if they rush you into surgery, then it could be really bad. So I had to just sit there and take it. Like, he didn't understand. And I just had to take it. So rightfully so, he was angry and frustrated. And I was able to just handle that because he was in a lot of pain in the moment. But you know, it was the sweetest thing. So he knew he was being kind of mean, but I didn't care. I just was like, you know, trying to stroke his little arm and rub his little head until he went into surgery. And then I was able to break down after that. But what the first thing he said when he woke up from the anesthesia, he told the doctors, he goes, "I'm really sorry if I was mean to you. Thanks for fixing my arm." And then the first thing he said to me is like, "Mom, I'm so sorry for saying mean things to you." And I'm like, "Baby, oh my gosh, you're fine. Like, I'm just glad you're okay." He's like such an angel. But like, being with our kids, it brings them such peace to know we're there. Even if we can't fix it, it brings them peace. And the Heavenly Father can bring such peace with his presence as well. You know, and so many times, like, can you imagine, you guys, like, if when Hudson broke his arm, if he like decided to run away from me, why would he run away from the one that can make it all better? The one who can get him to the hospital, to get him to the doctors, to get him to surgery. But so often when we're in pain, our Heavenly Father just wants us to run to him because he can make everything better. Yet we run in the opposite direction and we try to numb and dull the pain with temporary things that will never fully take the pain away. I can imagine how much it breaks the heart of our Heavenly Father, who literally is a strong tower. When we run into it, we are safe. Yet we run away from the very one who can make it all better. We have to stop running from God and begin to run into him. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So why are we running away from the one that can heal our broken heart, that can save those who are crushed in spirit? Our kids would never do that to us. So this morning, I really hope that we stop running from him and literally run into his open arms. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring comfort. We just need to let him do that today. Amen? Amen. The last thing. Mothers sacrifice to give their children life and life abundantly, just like our Heavenly Father. Mothers sacrifice to give their children life. And honestly, it starts because we're willing to grow a human inside of our bodies. That is such a sacrifice. Oh my goodness. Our life is no longer our own, and neither is our body. And then we give up our figures so you can be fathers. Like, you're welcome. You're welcome. We can never fully get it back. We can never fully get back. But you know what? We sacrifice because we love our kids. We're willing to, like, and I think God sets it up that way because the moment you become a mom, you'll be sacrificing till the day you die for your kids. Because that's just how moms are. Like, we sacrifice our sleep. We sacrifice even though we're starving, we make sure to feed our kids before we put food in our mouth because what if they're hungry? Like, we sacrifice, we get our kids' clothes before ourselves, at least most of us. And I know for me, how many Easter Sundays I've woken up and all my kids have their spot on, and I'm like, I have nothing. I didn't get anything for myself. I don't even think about it. Yesterday, we had a Mother's Day breakfast at his mom's house, and I got all the kids ready, and then I was like cutting up all the fruit, and then I'm like, I have no time. I'm going in ripped jeans and no makeup. You just do that. You just, like, you put your kids above yourself, and it's not like a, oh, woe is me. It's just what we do as moms. We're continually sacrificing. Like, we just moved into our new house, and I want, like, the first thing I did, I was like, I'm ordering all my kids' new furniture. Like, I want their new cool room. And I was like, and we're still on our mattress on the floor and our clothes are in boxes because I haven't, like, set aside time for me to get what we need, which we are today. We're going to go buy a bedroom set today. Amen. But, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm like, I just want my kids to be happy and, like, have everything that they need. And so I put them before ourselves. And, you know, I started watching all these videos and reading all these testimonials about a mother's sacrifice, a mother's love. And honestly, they were so depressing, I could not play them today because I didn't want everyone to leave sad. But the stories I was watching and reading, It was story after story of people that lived in an impoverished nations where mothers ended up starving to death because they were continually giving the last piece of food to their children so they can live. And then I read stories about mothers throwing their bodies over their children in earthquakes and tornadoes so they would live, and then the mothers were passed away. And then I read this one story of this woman who their three kids like jumped in the truck ahead of them, and the brake popped off. And so the kids started rolling, at the park started rolling down towards a canyon. And so the mother and father were chasing this truck, trying to stop the truck. And the kids were like banging on the window, like, help me, help me, help me. And so just in hopes that she could slow it down, the mom jumped in front of the truck, knowing that she was giving her body to slow the truck down. And sure enough, as she gave her body and the truck had to slow down as it rolled over her, the dad was able to jump in the truck just in time to slam the emergency brake with his hand. There's mothers who are diagnosed with horrible aggressive cancers that refuse to do chemo during their pregnancy because they want their child to live. And so many of these children were given life, but then the mothers passed away shortly after birth. There was story after story of the sacrificial love of a mother, and there's really nothing like it on this earth, but there's something like it in heaven because our Heavenly Father loves us with that sacrificial love. He put our needs above His own. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." God gave us everything so we could have everything. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want one person to leave this earth without not knowing Him. It would be unbearable if He were to lose one of His kids. Like, there's nothing like that kind of loss, losing a child. And I know so many of us have experienced that loss in here. And I'm so sorry, and I pray that the peace of God just overwhelms you today. But there's nothing like losing a child or even thinking you've lost a child. It's unbearable. I've been at theme parks and stores where moms thought they lost their kid and they collapsed on the ground. My son was 2 years old, and I was in the house, and he was playing, just going from room to room, which was very normal. Then all of a sudden, it got quiet, so I thought, well, moms know when it goes quiet, something's up, you know? So, of course, I go to look for him. Couldn't find him. I was like, I was really peaceful. I was like, oh, he's somewhere, like, surely. And but then panic began to kind of rise once I've cleared all the rooms and closets and behind the shower curtain, and I still couldn't find him. Then I was like a complete basket case. Like, I'm running around the house yelling his name. And I noticed that the back door was unlocked, not open. I'm like, gosh. So I run outside, and I was terrified to peer over into my pool. And like, I did not want to find him there, but he wasn't in the pool. I ran on the side yard. I ran up and down the street, and there was people outside, my neighbors. I was just yelling, "Have you seen Hudson? Have you seen Hudson?" And they're like, "No." And so this is now, you guys, this is like 10 minutes. I am a wreck. I have never felt so desperate in my life. And I was just like, okay, I need to call 911. Like, he's missing, he's gone. And so I'm about to call 911, and I was kind of praying, and I had the weirdest thought come through my head. I was just like, well, maybe he's just hiding. Like, say that you have candy. Like, I literally had this thought. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to go with it before I call the police. I was just like, I have candy. And I'm like running outside like, Hudson, I have candy. And I look like a crazy person, you guys. I'm like yelling candy everywhere. And then I run back in the house and I run in my room. I'm like, I have candy. Little butt sits up from my bed. He was laying like this under my comforter like this for 10 minutes. He thought it was so funny. And I'm like, he's like, can I have candy? I'm like, no, you will not get candy. And you will never, ever do that to me again. He was two. I was telling him, because I always tell them the stories I'm going to share because I don't want to like embarrass him. He goes, I totally remember that, Mom. Because he's two, you guys. I made it memorable. He's like, I remember where we were sitting in the toy room and you told me you almost called the police and that I should never do that again because I scared you to death. Like, he fully remembered. Yeah. Make it memorable. That was a horrible feeling. Horrible. You guys, that was 10 minutes not having my son. 10 minutes, the most horrible, desperate 10 minutes of my life, thinking I lost him. Can you imagine the depth of love your Heavenly Father has for you? How he would feel if he had to live an eternity without you. 10 minutes, I could barely keep myself together. I wasn't together. An eternity separated from your Heavenly Father. Heaven is not going to be heaven without you. You're his kids. But we need to choose him and allow him to be our Heavenly Father so we can be with him for eternity in heaven. I can't imagine being separated from my kids forever. So today, oh my goodness, we have such an opportunity to connect with our Heavenly Father who loves you so desperately. Before the foundation of the world, he was thinking about you. He knows the beginning from the end. He knew this moment was going to happen. He knew you were going to be here. And he knew that today was the day that he got to fully receive you as his son and as his daughter, to reconcile that relationship. It's not so that you can just live in eternity, but to have life and life abundantly here on earth. Everlasting life and life abundantly while you're here on earth. Can I tell you, you have nothing to lose, but everything to gain when you choose Jesus. You have everything to gain when you choose him. So I'm going to give people an opportunity to respond today. So if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes and just take a moment. Let's just take a moment and just really evaluate the state of our soul right now. If we were to leave this earth today, do we have 100% assurance that we would spend eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father? Or would we live in eternal separation from him? Like, are we certain? Like, how are we doing? Are we connected to our Heavenly Father, or have we disconnected with him? Maybe at one point you connected with him, but over the years you've kind of taken your life back, and today you realize you need to reconnect with him. You need to get right with God. Today's your day. Before the foundations of the world, he saw this moment.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.